State business. Iowa legislators, some newly elected, preparing for a new General Assembly. We're questioning legislative leaders House Speaker Craig Paulson and Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstahl on this edition of Iowa Press.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation.
Iowa banks know you want honest advice about how to best reach your financial goals. Whether it's financing and education, buying a new home, growing a business, or funding retirement, Iowa banks, Iowa values. MyIowaBank.com.
For decades, Iowa Press has brought you politicians and newsmakers from across Iowa and beyond. Celebrating 42 years of broadcast excellence on statewide Iowa Public Television, this is the Friday, November 30 edition of Iowa Press. Here is Dean Borg.
During the past several months, state issues facing Iowa's General Assembly were sometimes lost in presidential and congressional campaign frenzy in Iowa. Well, that's changing. Attention is now turning to Iowa's General Assembly that'll be convening a new session in January. Many of the issues, education and tax reform to name a couple, are still waiting in the wings, and the balance of power remains just about the same. Republicans controlling the Iowa House of Representatives by a slimmer margin, though, 53 to 46, and they have a special election to fill that last seat in the weeks ahead. In the Iowa Senate, Democrats still maintaining a narrow 26 to 23 advantage, and they have their own special election race coming soon. Linn County's Craig Paulson is once again Speaker of the Iowa House of Representatives, and the Senate Democrats again have Mike Gronstahl leading their majority, and they're back again with us, as you have been many times through various sessions. Welcome back to Iowa Press.
Thanks for having us.
And across the table, two veteran State House journalists who will be covering the new session. Jim Lynch writes for The Gazette, published in Cedar Rapids, and Radio Iowa News Director Kay Henderson.
Gentlemen, everyone's talking about this fiscal cliff at the national level. Mr. Paulson, does this have implications for budget writing at the state level? Do you have to wait for some decisions to be made at the federal level before you can make spending decisions in Des Moines?
Well, the answer to that is kind of a qualified yes, in that, yes, we need to know the outcome, but my hope and my expectation is they will have resolved their decisions that they have to make before we have to do ours, just because of the way the timelines fall out. The two pieces of that, of course, are the tax side and the expiration of the tax cuts. That has already been accounted for in the revenue estimates coming into the state. And then there's the sequestration portion, which appears, I mean, we don't know yet because they got to make their decision, but it appears right now if that would go through untouched, that will be about $50, $60 million lost revenue to the state of Iowa.
Mr. Gronstahl, how do you plan with this sort of limbo going on with the federal aid to the states?
Well, I'd say we're always subject to a certain level of limbo with the federal government. We don't know what they're going to do in next October's budget. We don't have a budget really for next year. We've got this fiscal. Those uncertainties are always there. But the size of the problem is fairly easy to identify, a kind of worst case scenario. So we can assemble things based kind of on a worst case scenario, make adjustments as that maybe turns out not to be the worst case. But I also think we're hopeful that both sides will recognize that the election's over and it's time. You know, I've always said even numbered years are years that involve elections, and both sides end up, you know, engaging in partisan activity, but that the odd-numbered years are supposed to be years that we govern and try and govern well, and people of good faith take the results of the election and translate that as best they can into policy for the state. So I'm hopeful that both at the national level and at the state level, we'll set aside our little partisan slings and arrows and get to work on doing things that Iowans care about.
Senator, what's that worst-case scenario look like for Iowa, though?
I think the speakers identified, I mean, there are pieces of it on the revenue side that we'll lose revenue. If federal taxes go up with federal deductibility, state revenues go down because they're able to deduct more federal taxes. So that's an identifiable number. And it's the spending cuts that are implicit in the sequestration, those are pretty easily identifiable as well. So biggest area will be human services and Medicaid.
While the folks at the federal level are trying to reach a grand bargain to avoid that fiscal cliff, is it going to take something of a grand bargain here to throw all the property tax relief, the corporate tax relief, income tax, gas tax, earned income tax credit into one pot and come up with something that both parties can live with?
I think there are times when assembling big packages results in a solution that works, and there are other times that the more pieces you add into the package, the less ability you get to be able to pass it because somebody has an objection to a piece of that package. So I think that remains to be seen. I think it's probably better to not have it all in one package. That's kind of my built-in bias, that you take the pieces. That doesn't mean that leaders can't agree. We're going to do these three pieces, but do them as separate pieces. So we'll see how that plays out.
Mr. Speaker, do you want a big package or do you want individual items?
I think you put all those pieces on the table and you talk through them and they kind of move at a similar time period. If you're talking about rolling them all into one bill, I don't think legislative history says that that's a particularly good way to move big ideas.
Well, let's pick one apart then. Property tax reform. The last condition of the state address, Governor Branstad outlined a big comprehensive property tax reform package, a lot of it commercial property tax rollbacks. Not much got accomplished last session. Maybe that's because it was an odd number coming up to an election, Senator Gronstall. But Senator Gronstall says now we're in an odd numbered after the election session. Are you likely, and I'll ask Senator Gronstall too, are you likely to do meaningful property tax revisions this session?
Well, I sure hope so. And I can tell you, I've surveyed my caucus. I know this is a priority of theirs. You know, we'll have to see. I don't know a whole lot about the Senate campaigns, but I can tell you that a good, I'll bet 70 plus members, meaning elected members, incoming members for this January, campaigned on property tax relief in the Iowa House. That's different than 2010. I don't remember that being a particularly strong message for the Iowa House Democrats in the past. It was this last cycle. So maybe that provides a new opportunity. Maybe that sparks something different. But absolutely, when you're sitting here with the third highest commercial property tax of the nation, the 16th highest residential property tax of the nation, I think those are unacceptable positions to be in.
Now, Senator Gronstall, you were the one just a few minutes ago who said we need to compromise, find common ground, and move forward in this session. It was last session that Democrats weren't willing to go along with the comprehensive property tax.
Actually, it was that the House Republicans weren't willing to go along with what we said was a plan that targeted small businesses. I don't want to replay the election.
No.
We've been through the election. I think there is a nagging problem with commercial property taxes in this state. I'm hopeful we can get something done about that. The details are important because if you're not careful, if I push your taxes down and I don't do something about the fact that yours are then going to go up, that's not much of a solution. So we had very serious concerns about a mechanism that would lower commercial property taxes but result directly in residential property taxes going up.
Are you saying you're coming back with that same argument again then?
We are not for residential property tax increases, okay? That's kind of one of our leading principles. And I think people of good faith, and I don't really think the Republicans like that idea, but I think I think the governor's proposal in particular was really a direct equation. Local residential property taxes would go up under the governor's original proposal. The House did some things to deal with that, not all of them as effective as I think they should be, but...
Speaking of the governor, Mr. Paulson, has he sort of put a gun to legislators' heads? He and his Department of Economic Development, which goes by a different name now, I can't recall, struck a deal with an Egyptian company that's going to put an Iowa fertilizer plant in southeast Iowa, and he promised them millions of dollars in direct state aid if the legislature doesn't reduce corporate property taxes. Is he creating an atmosphere in which you have to do something?
I think obviously the legislature will go back and review that plan, and I would assume both chambers will address that issue. But if we're going to talk a little bit of history here, I want to be clear on this property tax. It was the House that passed four proposals over to the Senate. Not a single one of them was called up for debate. They sent us one. We called it up for debate. We amended it, sent it back. They refused to debate that. And I think at the end, what I understood was I thought we had a deal. between the governor's office, the House, and the Senate, which is what we sent over to the Senate, and that also did not get debated. So I maybe I misunderstood that wasn't a deal, but let's be clear on who moved property tax.
I wasn't going to replay the last session, and I don't think we need to, Jim.
Well, will either of you come up with a new proposal? I mean, we've just rehashed the last 2 years. Will there be any new proposals on the table this year or in 2013?
Here's the principle for us. You've got to guarantee that there will be reimbursement for lost revenues that local governments encounter. If you don't guarantee that, then it's a direct property tax increase for homeowners. That's the most important principle we have in this equation. A lot of the rest of it is certainly, we're certainly open to negotiating on, but we're not going to negotiate on something that we think results directly in residential property tax increases.
Do you agree?
Guaranteed.
Mr. Paulson, do you agree that that is a tenet that both sides agree on?
I think it depends on what he means. If he means that that they need to have all their projected revenue growth projected or protected, then no, probably not, because we think local governments have a role in this as well. But if it is protecting them from having to go backwards, then I think that's clearly something we can work with. And I think the boundaries that House Republicans have laid out are also broad in scope and achievable, and that it needs to be meaningful. It needs to be something that a employer can count on, and the homeowners need to be protected, which is the proposals we did. We think that happened.
Well, let's talk about another tax, the gas tax. Mr. Gronstahl, the makeup of the Senate has changed. Do you think there are enough votes to pass a gas tax increase in the newly constituted Iowa Senate?
I think that's a little difficult to predict at this moment in time. There are how many new members? 38 new members, 37 new members, something like that. So there's a bunch of new people that got to come to the table and have their voices heard and their districts represented. So we've got to go through that process. But I have always believed that if it's done in a broadly, deeply bipartisan way, that it's certainly possible for the legislature to consider that. So I think that's a real possibility. We've tried to keep that option open in the Senate, tried to keep that option open. I talked with Branstad about it in 2010, in November of 2010, shortly after he was elected. So I think there is some concern about transportation infrastructure in the state, but it's going to have to be done, as it's always been done, broadly and deeply in a bipartisan way. And I think if people of good faith sit down and say, what can we do on this? I think we can probably find, kind of half the votes from the Democrats, half the votes from the Republicans, and probably get that done.
Mr. Paulson, as the legislature's leading Republican, what are your thoughts on a gas tax increase?
I don't know the answer to that. This is what I know, is I think there is general support among the 150 legislators that horizontal infrastructure needs a continued investment. I don't think that's a problem there. The question always is how. I know that there were, or it's my understanding, there were three different races in the state this just a month ago where the gas tax came up, where the person who supported the gas tax increase, two out of the three lost. I don't know how that translates to the members and how that impacts them. It's also very important to my caucus that we're not looking for ways to collect more money from Iowans. We're looking for ways to give them more of the money back that they send to us right now.
Well, let's get away from taxes then and go into education. We're about halfway through our program, and we've talked a lot about raising money. And now, education reform was a big part of the governor's message last time and on the agenda of the legislature. I think everybody agreed there was a lot of tinkering, if we can use that word, with education reform. Some things got done, but not the major things, including teacher pay. Do you expect, Speaker Paulson, that we're going to see education K through 12 public school massive changes in this session?
I don't know what you mean by massive, but yes. I mean, I think that from my perspective, we do some level of K-12 education reform every single session. I also think the bill we passed, while arguably, and many would argue that they would have liked to have seen more, and we all have our own ideas on what should be done there, I do think the competency-based assessments in there, I'm going to be really disappointed. I think if those don't prove to be very successful in years down the road, I just think that's a That has the potential to be a game changer. It was done on a strong bipartisan fashion. Obviously, every bill that went to the governor was bipartisan. But I'm expecting a proposal from the governor. I'm expecting that House Republicans will have a proposal. I expect the Senate Democrats will have a proposal.
Do you expect teacher pay increases to be part of that proposal?
That's the governor's office has indicated he's going to include that, yes.
Do you think teacher pay hikes are doable in the 2013 legislature, Mr. Grounds?
I certainly think that there's a strong interest in getting that done. I'd also say we want to make sure this is new. We don't want this to be, okay, we're going to get rid of preschool, and we're going to take the money we spend on preschool and use that for teacher pay, or we're going to do class size reduction. We don't want to take money away from things we think are being successfully done now. And I think the signals we're getting, I think the governor's since the election has been talking in a way that recognizes we had an election, it's time to move forward, people of good faith sit down and work together. So I think he's been signaling that all of us should be willing to compromise and try and do things that are good for Iowa. I'd also say there was we had an education summit a year ago in the summer of 11. And what all of the states that came in and talked about being national leaders in education, all of them said, it's not a silver bullet. It's not a one-year deal where you do something dramatic and then it's over. It's a 20-year effort.
So you're not apologizing for tinkering last time.
Well, yeah, I'm saying you got to start somewhere and you got to start moving forward and take ideas and see what works and walk away from the pieces that don't work and keep on moving and keep your eye on that ball, not just for 1 year, but for a decade or two decades.
How do you sell this to the public when they're reading news stories about Iowa having the highest graduation rates in the country? People are fairly satisfied that their K-12 schools are adequate or more than adequate. So how do you sell them on the idea you need to make massive change and it's going to cost them? It may cost them more.
I think you talk about making improvements in education. I think you talk about having world-class education. So I think that's part of the game, is going out and selling this idea to Iowans so that they will go along with it. But some of it may mean we're not quite as dramatic as some people would like us to be, and that's because you move along over time.
But it looks like things are sailing along pretty smoothly now.
I'd say on that front, Iowa does a phenomenal job, and it's an important job, and it's something other states should be jealous of. We do a phenomenal job of graduating students, and the vast, vast majority of them can read and write. We do a great job at that. We may not be doing enough to have, today's jobs require more skills than the jobs when I graduated from high school. And so we need to be doing a better job on that front. I think we need to be raising those standards.
Mr. Paulson, are you hearing a clamor for massive education reform?
Clamor? No, probably not. I think people are interested in seeing the bar raised consistently. I think the one area, of course, spending money for the sake of spending money, whether it's on education or anything else, it's not an end. It's a means to get somewhere. And I think when you look at growing jobs in the state of Iowa, one of the pieces where we have the potential to fall behind if we don't address it, and we have addressed it the last several years, but we need to do better, is in the STEM areas, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And that's a place where our teacher population is getting older, and we need to make sure we have enough to backfill them, and we need to make sure we have enough kids that are going into those particular professions. So that we have the knowledge base there to continue to grow the state's economy.
And I think you make a great point about building our economy. If there's anything we've all heard for the last several years, is that there's a skill shortage in Iowa, that we have people that would like to work, but they don't have the skills for the jobs that are out there. Georgetown study released last year said that we're going to need to create over a half million jobs in the next 6 years. And of those half million jobs, 60% of them will require more than a high school diploma, but less than a four-year degree. I think we've got to build a much better system of skill training in this state. And that's what I heard on the campaign trail. Let's help get Iowans back
moves
to work
in higher
education,
Kay.
To that end, Mr. Paulson, what will be the state's commitment to community colleges and Regents institutions, and how much of a commitment will the state make to ensure that students who enroll don't see sizable increases in their tuition?
Well, I think that in particular with the community colleges, I think that they've got some great workforce training programs, whether it's certificate programs, whether it's their degree programs. We have increased their funding in years past. I mean, I believe that, well, the governor laid out a goal of creating 200,000 jobs in the state of Iowa. I think who better to train for many of those jobs in the community colleges? That just makes sense to me. The Regents, you know, they put forth a proposal that would include 0% tuition growth. It appears to me that's a very thoughtful proposal, and we're going to give that, I mean, it's due consideration. I really appreciate them actually putting that on the table.
In an environment in which everyone's competing for scarce resources, Mr. Gronsall, do you see education getting a higher share, higher education getting a higher share of state support in the coming year?
Yes, I do. And I've been out over the last few days visiting community colleges across the state, community colleges along with business people in those communities and students in those communities. And we've had some kind of town hall meetings in Sioux City and Mason City and Fort Dodge and Newton, and we're doing more of those, and it's just phenomenal what you know. I knocked on 13,000 doors. Just about everybody I talked to, they talked about getting Iowans back to work, and we created a program last year called GAP, where there's degree programs, and then there's non-degree programs. I met two guys in Sioux City that went through I think it's a 4-week program. To get a CDL, a commercial driver's license. One of them had just gotten hired, and he could not have done it without the assistance, the GAP tuition assistance, because it's not a program.
I'm going to interrupt your story just to say what I hear, the both of you lobbying, you're not lobbyists, of course, but really telegraphing that community colleges are going to get increased support in this session.
Let me say a couple things on it. First of all, I think that we need a comprehensive plan. I think part of it is as much as just local adult basic education. I think we're the only state in the union that doesn't provide any state support for that. So just the basic reading and writing skills that maybe somebody missed out on that in high school or whatever, or had problems, to make sure. So adult basic education is important. Skill training is important. Some of them non-degree programs like commercial driver's licenses. Then those kind of middle level skills that are certificate programs or bachelor all the way up to. I think we need a system that says I'd like to see Iowa in the next 5 years be able to say to any business looking at our state or in our state, we'll provide the mechanisms to help train whatever it is you need, to train them for new jobs, to train them to train people that are in existing jobs. But
let me just ask Speaker Paulson, and we're going to go yes or no to what he just said.
Actually, I didn't hear every word that he said, so which occasionally happens when we're together. But anyway, I think back to your original question. I think you're going to see additional funding for the community colleges. I think higher education, and specifically to your question with regard to community colleges, I think they're part of making us a more rigorous education state, and some of the programs that the senator was talking about. And I also think that higher education, and again the community colleges specifically, are part of making K-12, in particular that junior, senior year, more rigorous. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Speaker Paulson, a year ago the Senate passed online gaming legislation. And I'm wondering if this is the year that with all the demand for resources, you might look at that as a source of revenue, if the House will take up that bill and pass it and send it on to the governor.
House Republicans aren't looking for a way to raise revenue. And I have no idea whether that bill has the support or not.
Has the stakes changed in the Iowa Senate? Would the newly constituted Iowa Senate embrace online gaming?
First of all, let's be clear. Online gaming is already going on in the state of Iowa. Mm-hmm. Unregulated, nobody paying any attention to it, nobody putting up any kind of security. Online gaming is already going on in this state. And so the proposals that have been out there have been about creating a legal mechanism so we can make sure that kids aren't engaged in this, so that we can make sure that it's safe and secure, do it through the existing gaming establishments in the state of Iowa, so that and so that the state would get the same revenue we get off of the existing operations. So that's been the proposal. It hasn't been to start online gaming. Online gaming's been going on for a heck of a long time in Iowa, and this is about coming up with a mechanism to regulate it and have it not kind of unfairly compete with the existing operations in Iowa.
When you put it that way, are House Republicans in favor of, of protecting Iowans from unscrupulous online
gaming? Obviously we're in favor of that, but I don't know whether the bill has the support or not. It's not anything we've talked about.
The director of the Department of Natural Resources this past week outlined a proposal for hiring 11 new inspectors that would help regulate large livestock confinement facilities in the state. Mr. Gronstahl, will legislators forward more money to the department to beef up inspections so that the Environmental Protection Agency, the feds, won't come in and do these things?
Well, obviously the threat of the feds coming in is a pretty real threat and pretty concerning to Iowans. So they don't want to have to go to Kansas City or to Washington, D.C. to get answers to their questions about what they can appropriately do. So I think we're very interested in taking a look at that. I'd also say the new director, Chuck Gipp, is somebody many legislators know, and he'll be a good guy to be able to communicate to legislators why some of these things are important.
Mr. Paulson, will the House embrace that proposal?
I listened to what he said this time, and actually I don't disagree with any of that. I think that was part of the budget process. We'll work through it.
The Secretary of State has proposed signature verification for absentee ballots. Mr. Gronstahl, is that something that you think should be done?
I'm well confident that my ballot would have been thrown out. That's the challenge with that legislation. Anybody whose signature changes over time, I wish the Secretary of State was working on things that would help more Iowans vote rather than discourage more Iowans from voting. In particular, that proposal would make it exceedingly difficult for senior citizens.
Speaker Paulson, there's some question about where Iowa stands on the health insurance exchange being set up under the Obama Affordable Health Care Act. Where will the legislature weigh in on that, whether or not it's a state-run exchange, a federal exchange, or a cooperative shared venture?
Well, what the legislature has done so far is provide the executive branch some authority to do what, for lack of a better explanation, we'll call it a mini exchange right now. So they have some authority there. We're waiting for a proposal to come back from the insurance commissioner and through the governor, however they're going to do that. A proposal will come from the executive branch to us, and we'll take a look at that. It cuts a lot of different directions.
It sounds like a wait-and-see answer there. I don't want a wait-and-see answer here. Mr. Gronstahl, will you run for governor in 2014?
I'm going to work this session on getting as many Iowans back to work as I can. I'm going to try and help businesses in this state get the skilled workers they need so that we can grow Iowa's economy. That's what I'm going to focus on. That's what we should focus on in odd-numbered years.
So that was a yes, no, maybe?
In even-numbered years, we'll have that discussion.
Mr. Paulson, what do you want to do in 2014?
In 2014? I will make that decision at some point in time in the future.
Well,
right now,
we'll have you back.
Okay.
We're out of time right now. And we'll be back with another edition of Iowa Press next week. Time 7:30 Friday night, and a second chance to see the show Sunday at noon. I'm Dean Borg, and thanks for joining us today.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation.
Support comes from the Iowa Bankers Association. Iowa banks work with you to offer products and advice for financing an education, buying a new home, growing a business, or funding retirement. Iowa banks, Iowa values. MyIowaBank.com.